A group of researchers, including University of Arkansas professor David Staley, has found that dendrochronology, or tree ring dating, can provide a picture of drought history and other climate changes, giving a climate perspective on important events such as large-scale human migration and even the rise and fall of entire civilizations. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas spoke with Staley and has this report.
From the outside, the effects of a current drought on a tree are quite clear. Dry bark, browning leaves that fall to the ground prematurely. But what does it look like on the inside? Many children grow up learning that the age of a tree can be determined by counting the rings in its trunk. But that's not all tree rings can tell us. The size of the rings, i.e. how much a tree grew in that year, can tell climatologists what the weather was like, wet or dry. David Staley is a dendrochronologist at the University of Arkansas. He has spent much of his career taking core samples from ancient trees, using them to determine what the climate was like at a given time and how it changed over time. As Staley says, this is not a new form of research.
Trees record in their annual increments the environment under which they grew. That was realized by Leonardo da Vinci, the great man, in the Renaissance. And it's built into an important part of paleoclimatology. And so we consult long tree ring records from undisturbed forests to provide a proxy representation of what climate was like, especially drought years and wet years, many centuries prior to the invention of the thermometer and the rain gauge. The reason we do this, of course, is to provide a perspective, the natural climate background to the modern era.
Industrialization and human expansion are changing the chemistry of the atmosphere, and much of that impact is on temperature and dryness. Climate varies temporally over time and spatially. Tree rings give a good representation of that time and space. Staley has spent his career developing a network of tree ring chronologies across North America. Most of his work has been in the southern United States, California, and Mexico.
It's super cool because we get to go. It's a great privilege. Been funded mainly by the taxpayers of the United States through the National Science Foundation, you know, to go to ancient forests. And we want ancient undisturbed forests because forests are going to reflect tree growth. The annual rings are going to reflect the environment that they experience. And so if in 1880 there was a big logging event that removed 80% of the trees and released the remaining 20%, there's going to be a big surge in tree growth following 1880 that has nothing to do with climate variability and everything to do with human disturbance. And so we have to avoid those sorts of areas.
As the population grows and spreads out, exploitation of the forest happens. Staley estimates that 40% of the original forest coverage still exists in the United States. Remote areas do exist. They are out of the way, where many trees may not have been worth logging, on a steep hill, or the trees just weren't that big. Perhaps the soil wasn't worth farming. When they find these old-growth forests, wooded areas with trees that are over 300 years old, and many of them over 1,000 years old, they take core samples, which do not harm the trees.
So they survive this sampling for sure. And we get all these cores from any one site. We might collect 50 or 100 core samples from 20, 30, 40 different trees. And then we date them, we date the annual rings exactly with the method dendrochronology, the most accurate and precise dating method in geochronology. So it's exact to the calendar year of formation, and we can prove that and have proven that without doubt.
Staley demonstrates how a core sample is taken using a Swedish increment border, or a handheld auger.
A hollow steel tube with exterior screw threads and a cutting tip, and you screw this into the tree and it extrudes a core inside the tube. Core is about 5 millimeters in diameter, a little bit smaller than the diameter of a pencil. And we can mount those and then polish them and get an excellent sample of the growth history of the tree.
He's pushing it with quite a lot of body weight to get it started.
So that started it. That's usually the hard part.
That clicking sound is caused by the friction between the stiff wood and the screw threads on the auger. Once the sample is polished, they look closely at the rings. The newest ring being the outermost. Fat rings mean wet years, skinny rings, dry years. They're able to date trees to the exact date of the year they were formed, without error, which has been validated by many blind dating tests. Staley can give examples, varying from the eruption of Mount Tambora in 1815 that created climate interruption worldwide, including a year without a summer. Effects can be seen in the conifers of the Colorado Plateau. And then there's this quaint example.
We've dated log buildings, and perhaps your ancestors wrote in their Bible the date, the year in which they felled the trees that were used to construct the log cabin for the family home. You don't tell me that particular detail. We come in, we take core samples from the wall logs through the unhewn portion of the log that preserves the bark ring, the last ring produced before the tree was felled. We take these core samples back to the lab, we mount them, we polish them, we cross-date them with our master dating chronologies from living trees, and we determine the year in which the trees were felled, and it agrees exactly with the written record from your family. Those kinds of tests have been, well, we dated Old Main. You know, there's big, huge primary support beams made of shortleaf pine from the War Eagle Mill, the Van Winkle Mill at War Eagle. And we've taken core samples out of those, and we've dated those, and sure enough, Old Main was built with timbers that were cut in 1870, 1871, 1872. Of course, we already knew this. Yeah, and so if you plot these cutting dates through time, there are a lot of cutting dates when it's wet, and there are hardly any when it's dry. And so we can see the pulsing, you know, of climate modulating, you know, human activity across the Southwest.
Staley has also been involved in using bald cypress trees to determine what happened to Roanoke Colony, one of the first colonies in the United States, in the birthplace of the first English person born in the U.S. in 1587. Then, the colony disappeared.
They disappear, the famous lost colony, in the year 1587. That turns out to have been the driest year in 800 years in that part of the tidewater region of Virginia and North Carolina. So there's a lot of very interesting recreations or studies that can be done across American history and prehistory, once you have an exactly calendar-dated record of climate, and that's what the tree rings provide. But I think it's fair to say that with the tree ring record of climate, we've learned a lot more about that interesting period in early American history.
Tree rings are also important to the whole question of modern climate change. Staley and his colleagues have reconstructed droughts in the United States over the last couple of hundred years.
Here's last year's drought, and we were showing some analogs. Well, this is 11, this is 12, and 2011 here, sort of a Southern Plains drought. Well, there's plenty of droughts in the tree ring record that matched that, and in fact lasted longer. This one lasted 3 years.
Staley and his colleagues have developed drought maps of the United States.
2012, we saw another three-year drought during the turn of the 19th century, 1799 to 1801. So just the simple occurrence of drought doesn't necessarily mean that the climate is changing in an irrevocable manner.
Staley says, and his examples show, that drought has happened before, and that we can take some sort of consolation in that.
But that, of course, ignores everything that we are doing in an unintended way to change the climate. Where no one set out on purpose to alter the energy balance of planet Earth, but that's been an unwanted byproduct of the industrialization of the world and the release of heat-trapping gases into the atmosphere. It's a concern. And so tree rings help frame the problem in a longer-term historical perspective.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.